Well, this morning I am so excited about church. I'm excited about what I've been thinking about this week regarding my sermon. And I don't expect anybody else to be excited about my sermon. I understand that completely. But sometimes preachers are like this. They kind of get something in their mind and on their heart, and they just are really, they just can't wait in order to talk about it. I really have felt that way a little bit about this morning. And again, you know, if this is the worst for you and the most boring thing you ever heard, I understand that. But I want to tell you today that I am excited about the church. I am excited about the body of Christ. I am today and thinking about this service, and I've been thinking about it really all week. And a couple of weeks before, I had kind of chosen that this Sunday would, after Easter, be a day that we're going to celebrate the church. And I just want to tell you that I am excited and thankful for the body of Christ. I am so thankful for our church. I felt over the last 5 weeks such kindness and love for each other in the church and for the community and for one another. And I have sensed that from so many people. And that really fires up a preacher. That fires up a pastor. When a pastor sees the church being the church that God wants them to be. So I want to say to you, thank you. I know that for some of you, you've not been as impacted by this virus. I know that. I feel that way personally in my family, my circle of people that I'm close to, as close to. I know of people that are sick, and some of my Nazarene family I'm very concerned about and praying for. Some of you might be in that category, and others of you might be in that category where you are facing very difficult, specific issues and problems right now because of this virus. I understand that too. And I want to say to you that Christ loved the church and he cares deeply about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, I'll say today, I know you believe it, but I'm going to say it anyway. He is the head of the church. Think of that. Jesus, the one who died on the cross and rose from the grave, is the head of the church. He knows what's going on in the church. He's watching the church. It's not that Jesus somehow went up to heaven and disappeared in a cloud, never to be seen again until the second coming. We're told that Jesus is in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and praying for me. I think of the book of Colossians and the scripture that talks about who Jesus is, the head of the church, the firstborn from the dead, so that in himself he will have first place in everything. I want to say today how thankful I am for the body of Christ. I'm also thankful for this church. The church is special. I love the church. I was thinking about, as I was writing my thoughts out this week about this message, and am I the only person that feels this way? And I know it's not true. Once in a while, I get together with somebody and we talk our theology and we talk about things that are important in our theology, and people have different things that they key on and are very important to them. But I was thinking this week as I was working on my sermon how important to me my theology of the church is. What I believe about the church. What I believe about God says about the importance of who we are as a church. I don't know if maybe in part that's why I felt so thankful when God allowed me to be a pastor. I'm not sure. But I know that my theology of the church is important to me. And I believe what you believe about the church is very important for you. I love God's people. Whether you're near or you're far, you're important to God. You're important to the body of Christ. By the way, happy birthday to Nancy Yost. I'm not sure where she's at. She's listening somewhere. But Nancy, happy birthday. You called me last week and gave me a message and it meant so much to me. I appreciated it so much, your encouragement. Oh, that was an aside. I love the church. I love the variety of the church. I love the variety of the body of Christ. Sometimes it's very frustrating. Sometimes we have strong opinions about other people. We are people that are good at having strong opinions. But I want to say today that Christ has made the church in the variety that it is, and we ought to be thankful for that. God's people all around the world. Different languages, different customs, different cultures, different ways to worship, different ways to pray, different ways to do everything. And yet it's his church in its variety. That doesn't mean in any way that the church is perfect. I don't want to imply today that I think the church is perfect. My goodness, there's not a person here that would think that. The church doesn't belong to Jesus because it's perfect. The church belongs to Jesus because he gave his life for the church and for people who he loves so much. It does mean to me that the church is highly valuable to God. Whatever form, whatever expression, whether it's 3 people or 300 people, whether it's in a city or a village in India, wherever it is, the church, God's people are important to him. And it's worthy of us celebrating and being thankful for and praying, God, help me to be a part of the church that you want me to be. It's worthy that each one of us would say, God, what kind of a church person do you want me to be? What do you want me to be in the church? What example do you want me to set? What if everybody out there was like me? What would the church be? It is worth praying for. It is worth being thankful for. It is worth encouraging one another, and it's worth worshiping together. Today, I'm thankful for the privilege that in this 5th Sunday of this virus time that we can worship the Lord Jesus Christ with our whole hearts. You know, Jesus said, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That means that Jesus is already here. Listen, I am in the midst of him. He is in your house right now. Those that I see and those that are on the phone and those that are on Facebook or YouTube or whatever you're at. Right now, where you are, Jesus is. Maybe you want to look around and think about that a little bit. Where is he? He promised to be with you. He promised to be near you and in you. And today we're gathering to worship not people and a distant God, but people and God all together wherever we're at. And I'm thankful for that today. Whether there is one or a mighty assembly, God is with you. And you are the church. You are the body of Christ. The church has so many different expressions and different ways to express itself, pleasing to God. The church is the people of God wherever they are. The church is the people of God, however they're made up and consisted. They're rooted in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ through his death on the cross. The church is a variety. It's not a building, but if you're in a building, if you're in a field, or you're in a car this morning, maybe you're on your way to work or on your way home, or maybe you're in the living room today. There might even be a couple that hear this today that are in a hospital bed. Maybe you feel alone today, or maybe you're with a lot of people around you. I want you to know that you are treasured by God and you're important to God as the church. 1 Corinthians says this, now you are the body of Christ and each of you are a part of it. Think about that. Let me say that again. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you are a part of it. You know what that is saying to me? You, all of you, are the body of Christ. It's not just there is a body of Christ. It's not just that there is the church, but you are a part of the church. You are a part of what God has and wants and loves and cares about. In Christ, we form one body. Think of that. That's on the kids' quiz. In Christ, we form one body. As different as we are. And in that body, there's to be unity and purpose together, passion, mission. We're to care for one another. We're to have this love and mutual respect for one another. Not because we always get it right. Apostle Paul talks about that. We won't always get it right. But what we need to always get right is we understand the importance of the body of Christ and who we are. The church is an amazing creation by God. I am reading a lot of scripture this morning, and so I want to read two, especially now, scriptures about the church, and there are so many. The first one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me read these words about the church. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 12. It says this: "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of many parts, of one part, but of many." You notice how many times in that scripture the word one is? One body, one Spirit. Another scripture, Ephesians, talks about one Father, one baptism. The body of Christ is to be united. Understand the power of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed for each of you. For just as many of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to one another." Again, the word one there is often, I mean, it's found many times. "So in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to one another." I want to say today how important it is to remember that we belong to each other. There is a belonging and a sense of caring for and loving, but it's also a side of that belonging is that that's how God designed the church to be. That we are interconnected. And you do have a belonging to your brother and your sister. And you have a responsibility to understand that and see that and to know that. So what do we say about the church? Number one, and I've been saying it, so I'll say it one more time anyway. The church is very special to God. The church is very special to God. Number two, the church, God's people, has been a major theme from very early on. You look back at the Old Testament, you look at even the covenant of Noah. If you think about that and study that, something was started there, this covenant idea. And then you have, a few hundred years later, a man came by named Abram. And God chose him and said, "Abram, I have chosen you because I want you to be a light to the generations to come. I will make you a father of many nations." And he told Abraham, and it was revealed in Abraham's life, and then his son Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Joseph, and then the history of Israel, how important this idea of God's people are. The people of the Old Testament, those Jewish people, belong to God. He saw them as his possession. There was a belonging sense back and forth about God and his people. And the whole rest of the Old Testament is about really the church, the body of God, the Old Testament people, and all the things that God wanted, covenant with Abraham, and he wanted to bless them, and he wanted to give them the Torah as a gift and a blessing to them. He wanted relationship with them. He had this whole idea of being connected to them. And so you have this concept in the Old Testament all about the importance of God's people. And then you come to the New Testament, and then you have a further description in Jesus' words in John chapter 13 through 17 about the importance of the ecclesia, the church, the people. Ecclesia is a very special word. It's a Greek word that means the gathering of God's people. God loves the ecclesia. He loves you and I. God is so creative, and he created the church as his way of connecting with us until he comes again. This is God's plan. Now, the church's going to have different expressions over the centuries and different ways to meet and different combinations, some with buildings, some without. And so God has a lot of creativity and ability for the church to be the church wherever it is. The church in China is not like the church here. I can tell you that. But both are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The traditional church, Christ loves. And Christ loves the new churches too. And the innovative ideas and churches of people. Because people change. And what we like change. And so much of what we do when we come together is what we want. But we've got to remember, it's all about Jesus. It's all about His church and the mission that He's given us to have and to follow. It's designed by God. Think of that. God designed the church. So it's important to Him. It has a plan. It has a fulfillment that God wants it to give. And we're reminded again that Christ is the head of the church. It's His church. He can be possessive if He wants to. It's my church. Think of God, the God Almighty, the God in heaven, and how He feels about the church. He says, it's my church. I gave my life for it. And I love the church so much. Christ is the head of the church. And Christ loves the church. Ephesians chapter 5. Go on to that next couple of slides, would you please? Ephesians chapter 5 says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Two things in there. He loved the church and He gave Himself up. Think of that. Giving yourself up. What that meant. When He went to the cross, He was giving up a lot because of His great love for us. For God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus gave up so much because of His love. We should feel that and sense that. In Christ, we form one body. Said that a few minutes ago. One body. How important it is that we understand that. One body. I've never been a kind of a preacher or a Christian who wants to criticize other Christians. I would just rather leave that to somebody else. In fact, I'd rather leave that to the Holy Spirit, actually, than be critical of other Christians. I think of a couple things about that when I think about the church. Usually when we are critical of other people, it's because we have faults of our own, usually. Well, Jesus talked about that when He said about pointing the finger at our neighbor. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about that. How easy it is for us to fall into place of feeling like we're the inspector. We've got to declare who's right and who's wrong. We've got to be the ones to clarify how things really are. But I'm reminded that number one, the church belongs to Jesus. Number two, Jesus is the judge. And number three, God calls us to other things. The church has a mission. Oh, the church has a mission. And it's not inspection. We know that. It's not judgment for sure. We know that. But our church has a mission. You know, God has given us a mission to tell the story of who Jesus is, what Jesus has come to do. And boy, do we have an opportunity in today's environment to sincerely tell people what our faith means to us and what Jesus means to us. I want to encourage you today to understand how important your witness is today. I want to tell you how important what you say, what you don't say, how you handle the pressure that you feel, what a witness that has to people around you. We have a great opportunity to tell the story. We also have a great opportunity to be compassionate. And so many of you, I see that so much in the last few weeks of your caring for other people and reaching out to them. Just want to say that compassion is one of the great keys to often unlocking the hearts of people and what they feel. Whatever your influence is today, I just want to say to you, don't underestimate that influence. Leave your footprints for God. Wherever you're at during this time, this difficult time, leave your footprints for God. Would you go on to that next slide, please? Footprints. I want you to think about footprints for a moment. We belong to each other, and we are asked by God to leave our footprints for Him. It is a great opportunity for us in order to say who we are and who we belong to and what God wants for our lives. We do have a role to play. Don't underestimate your part in the church. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Think about that. So that's really an opportunity and a challenge today to say to all of us, may God help me. May God help me to spur people on in their faith in Jesus. May I have the kind of life and the influence that people say, wow, he really does believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes that Jesus died for his sins and can be drawn to them. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion in just a couple of minutes. We celebrate the church. We celebrate the mission of the church. And we also celebrate the call to be the influence in the world that God calls us to. We worship the head of the church. We acknowledge Jesus as we come to a time of communion. We remember. We affirm our faith. Today, I want to invite you to receive Holy Communion together in this unique environment, in a place and a time that we've never done this before. I've never done this before, but I want to encourage you today to take the next 5 or 10 minutes and just connect to the mission of Jesus and his love for the church and what he wants for each one of us. To connect with the sacrifice of Jesus, to connect with the meaning of the cross that we celebrated last weekend, Good Friday, and the empty tomb. Communion is a time to choose to believe. Communion is a day of choice. And today I want to invite you to the decision and the choice to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you. I believe that you died for my sins. And today I want to ask you to come into my heart and my life. Jesus had said earlier, I am the bread of life. He had said one of those times in the Gospel of John, I am the bread of life. And when he said that, people didn't understand what he meant. But after Jesus died on the cross, people began to understand that idea of bread and how important bread was to people's everyday life. And Jesus was saying, I am important like that in your everyday life. And so when we receive communion, we take the bread and we break it and we eat it. And we remember that Jesus is the bread of life. On our children's quiz at the bottom, on the one side are 3 questions that I wanted our kids especially to think about today. Number one, to be reminded that Jesus is the bread of life. And number two, that when Jesus died on the cross, his death is our daily bread. His death is our life. So when we think about taking communion, we're remembering that that bread represents that Jesus died for our sins. And the juice represents the blood of Jesus that he gave his life for you and me. So when we take communion, it's another reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus made. Communion is also a time to think about forgiveness. Communion is an opportunity to once again remember that when Jesus died for our sins, it's because he wanted to forgive us. We remember the body, we remember the blood, we remember forgiveness. And there may be some people listening today who have not really taken that step of asking Jesus to forgive you for your sins. Could be some children, could be adults. Maybe you have not come to that place in your life yet that you have asked Jesus to forgive you. I want to especially say to those that are listening today, again, most of you I know, but there are probably some that I don't. But I want to say to everyone that's listening today, this is an opportunity. If you have unconfessed sin, if you've not come to the place and asked God to forgive you for your sin, that you can just do that right now. Say, God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for my sins, and that I ask him right now to take away sins in my life and to fill me with your Spirit. And Jesus said he would do that. Whether you long ago have prayed that and it's been a while since you've thought about that, I want you to know that today Jesus stands as our beautiful picture window over on this side of our church sanctuary shows. Jesus standing at the door knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I want you to know that today is the day that Jesus is hearing you and listening to you. And this opportunity of worship is a great time to say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me today. I'm going to invite you in just a moment now that if you've asked Jesus to forgive you for your sins, I want to invite you to a time of communion. I'd like each one of our young people, our boys and girls, that you be with your mom or your dad or your grandma, whoever you're with today, and they can talk to you about what communion means and ask you some questions and ask you if you understand what it means to ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins, and you've done that. I want to invite you today, if you've done that, to receive communion. Maybe I'll just give you a half minute. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. Shawn is going to lead us. And while she does, if you've not gathered something for communion, just give you a moment to do that. Maybe a cracker, maybe a piece of bread. Obviously, in this different environment, what you choose is not nearly as important as what you see in the symbol of what it is. I know some families have really gone to some time and work. I've had two pictures sent to me of families that have made unleavened bread for today. And I think that's really special. Whether you have that or you just have something else that you can use to remember, I just want to invite you to get that now, something to drink. And then after we sing this song, they're going to receive Holy Communion together. Shauna, would you lead us in this song? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Thank you for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that even a week ago we remembered and celebrated. May we understand the meaning of the cross and how precious it is. I pray today that as we take Holy Communion where we're at, in our homes, in our workplaces, whether we're by ourselves or with someone else, that we would see Jesus in the bread and in the juice, and we would remember how much you love the church, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night that Jesus died, he took the bread, and when he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken to you." I now want to invite you, wherever you're at today, to receive Holy Communion, the broken body of Jesus, the bread of life, as we celebrate God's love today. Now, on the same night as he was betrayed, he took the cup, and after he gave thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink, for this is the blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant." We have a great privilege today to say thank you to Jesus. Worship him as you receive of the cup today. Amen. Our benediction today comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 3. It says this, "Now to him who is able to do more immeasurably than we could ask or imagine." Think of that. To him who is able. He is able. "According to his power." His power. But then look at the next part of it. "That is at work within us." His power that is in work within you. "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I'm so glad that you could be with us today. I pray and sense that you will sense God's Spirit and God's presence, and we'll continue to be connected and worship him. Thank you for being on today, and may God bless you and watch over you and meet every need in your life. God bless. Bye-bye.